Hey guys, welcome to episode 194 of the podcast with my wonderful guest, Allison Bennett. She is a comedian and writer on, of course, one of my favorite shows of all time, You're the Worst. I say with smugness that I'm on it, I guess. That's not very, it's very self-congratulatory of me, but the honest to God truth is, guys, it's a great show. I am re-recording this intro, and I'm going to have to catch up on shout-outs next week. I recorded one, and Katie just let me know that there's something wrong with a file, and unfortunately, I'm not near my equipment or my computer that has information on shout-outs. So bear with me, and next week I will get caught up. And the most important thing right now for me is getting this marvelous episode out there so you can enjoy Allie. Okay, talk to you soon, guys. Bye.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
That's a positive thing to say about something.
I got through. I'm getting through these 200 episodes no one has asked me to do that I've committed clearly only to myself, but I'm acting like it's some sort of like huge labor.
I'm on the other side.
Almost. I'm very close.
Right.
Are you sure this mood isn't too sexy? This is like...
No, I
don't
like do.
I don't evening podcast that much. And as long as you don't feel like it's going to just totally put you to sleep.
No, I'm awake. I love the sexiness.
You're peppy.
I feel peppy.
How was the traffic coming over? Got to get that out of the way.
Traffic
LA talk.
Was good.
All right.
It was pleasant.
Yeah. Pleasant even.
Traffic doesn't bother me.
Yeah. That's really good.
It's a weird thing.
I guess it doesn't bother me that much either. I was thinking about that. I was thinking about that because someone was complaining about the traffic, and then I thought, you know, I think I don't have road rage, and I was trying to sort of think when do I have that feeling? Right. And I think it's when I'm entering my address or credit card information onto a page on the web and it won't load right, or I have to do it more than two times. That's
Internet
my
rage.
Road rage is, yeah, I'll just start going crazy. Like I can't write my street name one more time. So
Why
stupid.
Won't it autofill?
What an easy problem.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Stuff like that can be really frustrating. Anything with like forgetting passwords and password prompts can make me lose my mind as well.
Yeah. Do you have a thing that, like, now I'm just asking for information that can cause someone to steal your identity?
No, anytime.
Your SSN. So your SSN. Your social security number is what?
It starts with
one.
Great. just get that
I
out
just
there.
Need to verify your identity to
okay,
do this
yeah,
podcast
because
you could be already, not you.
Yeah.
Because I'm face blind. I have face blindness.
Oh, really?
Do you know anyone who actually has that?
No. I mean, we write about it on the show with Jimmy. We work on You're the Worst together. And, we talk about it, but there was one girl that I knew at like UCB in New York who claimed to have it, but I don't know if I totally buy it.
Yeah.
Because I'd run into her and she'd be like, hey, Allison.
Interesting. What was her reasoning?
She just said that I think she just didn't want to memorize anyone's name.
Yeah.
I think at its heart, that's what that
was
about.
Really all it was.
Yeah. But, you know, it worked out.
I mean, it becomes the problem with it, with using that, if it's not true, is that it's like, okay, it's not like this, but imagine if you claimed that you had that total autobiographical memory like Mary Lou Henner does.
Oh, yeah.
And you really have to be able to follow up on that. And while that's not exactly the same, I feel like it's a fascinating enough kind of quirk to give yourself if it's not true.
Right.
That you are setting yourself up for a lifetime of people being like, I just want to talk with you about this. And then you have to be like, oh God, why did I say I had this?
I'm gonna have to
keep lying about it. Yeah.
So many tests about May 7th, 1992. Yeah. What were you doing?
Oh, yes, certainly that.
You could just make stuff up though.
I guess that's true. No one's going to really be able to prove it.
Sociopath.
That's a really good point. Do you think you've known any sociopaths?
Oh, yeah.
You do?
I think so. But I think everyone's a sociopath.
Okay.
I actually got into books about psychopaths and sociopaths.
Okay, I'm glad you did the reading for me because I keep thinking I'm going to read them and then I don't.
I read them all and then I was on this flight coming back from Hong Kong. This is like 2 years ago. And I was like, I know all these girls that would really like this book that I just read about psychopaths. So I sent them all an email about it, and then we just started emailing each other about, like, murder articles and all kinds of other weird stuff. And then it grew into a Google group. And now it's like 60 girls on both coasts that were just the psychopath chain.
I mean, listen, I hate to be gross, but I am interested enough in true crime and fascinated by all that that now I want in.
You're going to get on that list.
Okay.
It's so good. I get an article like every day. It's like, have you seen this one? We've all seen
that one. And what are God, every day.
What
are the, are they all sort of like salacious in some way, or some of them just someone got hit by a car?
Hey, this documentary is coming out. Like when Making a Murderer was coming out, everyone's like, have you seen the trailer?
Yeah. And what did you think about that? And did you do all of the follow-up after
I
you saw it?
I actually did not watch Making a Murderer, which is like the weirdest thing about me right now.
I'm shocked.
It is shocking.
Based on what we're talking
I'm
about.
Like a huge true crime head. Yeah. I was just like moving when it came out, and then I'll sit down and do it like eventually.
Okay, I'm excited to talk with you about it once you finished it, because I felt how I felt, and then I went down the rabbit hole of like listening to some other people on a podcast take it apart who are experts.
Right.
And it totally changed my whole perspective on it and stuff. So it was very interesting.
Yeah, I can't wait to dive in. Yeah. That's going to be my next project.
And
how
about something like Serial?
Oh yeah, Serial, we actually had to start like a separate Google group because people were like a different.
Yeah, this is going to be a real good place for me.
Oh,
this is, I think I found my real home online. Yeah.
There was an article that was on Jezebel this week about a woman who had murdered her young daughter. And the way that it kind of got tipped off was that she had contacted a photographer to take these photos of her at a grave and Photoshop her young daughter in.
Whoa.
But she got the photos done before she murdered her daughter.
What?
Yeah. So, like, the timeline was, like, what tipped everybody off. Like, creepy,
God,
like,
so weird.
Victorian style.
Yeah. That's exactly what I was just thinking about. I was like, this sounds like The Others or something, like some kind of crazy ghost story. What's funny is that, first of all, there's so much I have to say about this. None of it has anything to do with your teenage years. Or maybe it will.
There's some connections there, yeah.
Because I was thinking to myself, like, I was thinking about the evolution of my fascination with that stuff. And when I was younger, I think I was way more interested in like the movies. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I was obsessed with Silence of the Lambs when it came out. I was like too young to be as obsessed as
so
I was.
Scary.
I saw it so many times, like multiple times.
You're
I had
brave.
A poster. I had the poster. I had a poster. Fucking poster. I mean, in fairness, I was also just in general obsessed with Jodie Foster. Not like Shoot a President obsessed,
right.
but I just loved her so very much. So, kind of.
She's the best.
Yeah. And so, I had the Silence of the Lambs poster. But that's a movie now where I turn it on and I can acknowledge, like, this is a brilliant movie. I have no interest in watching it. It's turning my stomach. It's upsetting me.
Right.
It feels too real now. I've come in touch with my own mortality.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I'm less interested in like things that are fictional that make me feel this unease and awareness that people are capable of horrible things. And yet it's turned over into more of a fascination with people who actually do it.
Real crime.
And somehow that, which doesn't mean I want to see like graphic photos, the discussion of it and talking about it, I'm completely captivated by it, and also the sort of law and detective stuff around it. But I don't like watch criminal minds. Like, I'm not interested in seeing fake versions of that anymore. Now
just
I'm only
stuff.
Interested in real problems that need to be solved.
Discovery.
Yeah.
That whole channel.
And so I guess I'm trying to figure out like what's that about, and also, is it me or do more women than men?
It's women. And I talk about this with my friends.
Let's get right into
all
it.
The time.
I want you to educate
and
me
I
and
think
inform me.
It's like a two-part thing. I think one, you got to stare into that abyss.
Yeah.
Because the second part is, it's the only type of story where reliably the main character, the victim, is a woman.
Oh, God.
Which is like so
or a
dark.
Child. A woman or a child.
A woman or a child.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm disgusting. I'll be watching ID and I'll be like, oh, a man gets killed in this one? You're like,
I want to snore.
But like, it's mostly women. And I think there's just like some sick part of you that, I don't know, now I'm like the creepiest podcast guest ever.
I honestly
look into that.
No, I don't. You're not. And it's something that it certainly has come up before. And also like, we're not, that's the other thing I was going to say is I don't think that, I think that most grown women who are interested, it's not like like, there are tons of girls in comedy who are really interested in that. You know what I'm saying? It's not like we all walk around moping, only listening to Elliot Smith and, you know, living in a world where, like, we just think everything sucks all the time because we've seen the dark side. We've looked into the abyss and we can't walk away. And I don't know if that would be different if we were more hands-on. I know I couldn't actually be a forensic. You know what I mean? I would be shattered every second. But to have so many people who are, like, actually kind of bright, upbeat people who are in comedy and laughing all the time and, you know, sort of living their lives in a way that is actually, like, celebrating the positive versus, you know, what actually takes us down that road.
About balance, too.
Yeah.
I think so many comedy people say, like, and I've heard it a million times, like, they don't want to go home and watch comedy because it feels like more work. So, like, what are you going to do? You've been laughing in a room all day, which we're so lucky to do.
Yeah.
Get a little dark at night.
I love it. You know what I especially love is the British ones, because then I don't know anyone on them at all. These guys know that the BBC is my Hollywood, where I sort of, like, look at all those people like, they're not even actors to me. They're just the characters that they, because I don't have to, you know, I completely disassociate because I don't know anybody. And especially because I also, like, love sort of, like, Scottish moors, like, Nordic snow murder shit, like, fucking fog everywhere. I love that feeling. And so that's especially, and those are always especially grim. Like, there's just such a weight to them that are, like, if someone is trying to be talked off a ledge, even if everyone else in the show has already died, that person will not come off the ledge. They will plunge to their death. I know they will plunge.
Scandinavia is terrifying.
Oh yeah,
like all the books I've read that have come out of there.
They're so good though.
Oh, so good.
I love that. Like, I think that isolation, that snow isolation, is very, very compelling to me.
Super intense.
Yeah. Now, okay. So where, speaking of snow, where did you ever have, like, what was your sort of experience of what would have been scary for you in your environment when you were growing up and, like, when you were a teenager? Like, for me, I'm from the desert. And so there was, like, certainly this sort of, like, where are the scorpions? Mm-hmm. Where are the tarantulas? But it wasn't like, oh, I'm going to die in a snowdrift or something like that.
Right. I grew up in central Pennsylvania, which is, like, very rural. So, you know, scary rednecks was a big, was a big thing to fear, like, getting kidnapped by a scary redneck was always a fear. my dad owned flea markets and antique malls in Pennsylvania, and so I was, you know, working for him a lot, and I had to sell, like, dead baby Victorian photography and, you know, stuff. And, like, creepos would come in.
Sure.
And, like, I would sell them these photos of, like, dead babies or whatever weird Victorian stuff.
So you would actually see people coming in that you were like, something's wrong with you. And,
oh, yeah.
And I'll take your money.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there were, like, regulars that would come in that were just really looking for, like, the dark stuff. And I mean, my dad's antique malls do not have, like, a lot of that.
Yeah.
But occasionally they would
probably some geese and bonnets and things like that, maybe from time to time.
Too. Very wholesome, but there is, like, that weird undercurrent. And I was just around weirdos constantly. Yeah.
Side note, have you been to Sleep No More?
Yeah.
So it's like that. You must have looked around and been like, oh, this is just like the worst, scariest version of my dad's antique mall.
Oh, I was like, I'm going to look in this drawer.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid.
Oh, it's the best.
But Sleep No More.
I
so
love
good.
The, oh God, the detail of that is very, very satisfying.
It's amazing.
My dad writes books about ghost towns and mining camps. So what I enjoy is that your dad ends up with all the stuff that used to be in the scary empty places that my dad would take me to. So you're by the stuff and I'm in the places.
Yeah. Mine's the shopping experience.
And mine's the vacation.
Scary stuff. Right.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah. A lot of
the road
trips.
Trip. Yeah.
Of course.
And would you go with your dad to go, like, get stuff and bring it back to
those
places?
No, my dad, weirdly, he was just like a real estate guy. So he owned the businesses, but he would rent out, like, the booths to other people. Okay. So he was coming at it from, like, a complete, like, business
angle. Oh, interesting. So you would never see him express enthusiasm, like, look at this 19th century.
A lot of, like, old guns. He's like a collector of, like, old guns. And from being in that environment, I mean, I think his one business is like 20 years old now. He's like picked up a lot of information about it, as have I. Weirdly, I can be like, oh, this pottery's blah blah blah, out and about now, which is insane. But he was coming at it from more of a business angle than like a I love antiques angle.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And do you have brothers and sisters?
I do. I have a sister who's 2 years younger than me, and then I have a stepbrother who I just say my brother because our parents got together when he was like 4. So he does not remember a world, and he's like 24. So he's still young.
Did they also participate in any of the antique stuff?
I mean, my brother like more than my sister. My sister, like the oldest piece of furniture or whatever that she has to this day is probably like 2007. Like she rejected it completely.
Yeah, yeah, I can understand that.
I'm not working there. I'm not doing it. Like I don't want to get weird with you.
But you do love vintage because we knew had that. Do. We joked about it. Does that extend to things other than clothing or is it mostly the clothing and like, accessories and stuff?
My house is insane. Yeah. Like crazy vintage furniture and like stuff on the walls and it's, you know, it's something I'm totally obsessed with. But yeah, my sister does not share that interest.
And do you feel like, because people ask me about that because I have a lot of stuff like that too. Right. And I feel kind of guilty that I don't have, a lot of the time people, maybe it's because people who aren't into it assume that it has to have this attachment, but people will be like, so is part of it like, oh my God, how many people wore this dress before me? Or like, hey, did you, you know, isn't it cool to think of this coffee table like actually being in the 1950s? And I have to be like, to be honest with you, I have not thought about its existence other than how it's important to me. I know I like it.
I'm like, and doesn't I don't look give a dope. Lot of
thought. Yeah. The only ones that I have, I collect vintage like 50s paint by numbers. That's the only thing that I kind of connect with because I have this like inner, I mean, it's definitely not like a something that I actively cultivated, but I guess right. I do have this idea of, I have like without and meaning to at all, sad housewives who are lonely painting these vintage paint by numbers. That for some reason is in there. That's the only one. That's the only one where, for some reason, the activity right. of that feels built in.
Yeah. Sitting there doing those cats.
Who knows if that's even what it is. Yeah.
Those deer.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Those are some sad deer.
I do dig that. I do dig that.
It's good.
Okay, so fear of rednecks?
Fear of rednecks.
So you were in a rural area, but super you weren't, rural. But it wasn't, your family wouldn't be considered rural in the
no.
same way.
No. My town was super weird. It's called Lewisburg, Pennsylvania. And so Bucknell University is there.
Okay.
Which is like a university. And then the federal penitentiary is also there.
Wonderful.
On SVU, they're constantly like, they're going to Lewisburg.
Oh, God.
Which is like that.
Yeah.
And then it was like, you know, surrounding farms and whatever. So I went to high school with kids whose parents were like the African-American professor, studies professors at Bucknell. Mm-hmm. And then like the most redneck people ever. And like kids whose parents were these fancy academics and people whose parents were prison guards. And it was this really interesting.
That's a real neat. That's quite a mix. Yeah. The idea of your one family could be prison guards and the other family could be prisoners. That's like,
yeah.
And then one family is like university kids. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Was there, were there actual things that happened or that you heard about? Like, you know what I mean? In terms of like, was there any kind of actual real reason to be afraid of like, I don't know, we're in a really remote place. You know what happened to so-and-so? Or is it just that sort of like,
I mean, like a urban, little bit, mostly just like urban
legend or whatever.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, we would go to the prison, like the prison area. There's the reservation. I forgot the word for a second.
Oh, yeah.
Like every year the prisoners would have a haunted house for the public.
Let me just back off and deal with this for one quick second.
Yep. The prisoners would build it for an entire year. And then I guess like the white collar criminals and the guards were the ones in like the Jason hockey mask. And you'd be like a 13-year-old girl and you and your friends would get in a minivan and you'd go there and you'd wait in a super long line and then you would go to this haunted house that was in a barn on the federal prison reservation.
I am so flabbergasted. You must love telling that story to people because
it's nuts.
And let me say, I don't like, for all of the talking that we've been doing about murder, et cetera, right. I also have like enough personal experience understanding the prison system that most of the people in prison probably shouldn't even be there.
Totally.
And they're there on 3 strikes and they're there because they're burglars or they're there because they dealt drugs or whatever. And so I'm not in any way saying like all prisoners are psycho.
No, totally.
But it's just the irony of that is so, I mean, First of all, I love that they're busy doing something. Like,
yeah, it's like
awesome. How exciting and how fun, and have it be like a thing that's actually kind of thrilling and fun to work on. It feels like it's about someone else's amusement. All of that is wonderful.
So fun.
It doesn't make it any less like bizarre.
It's bonkers. One of my best friends from high school lives out in LA now, and we were out to dinner a couple weeks ago, and I was like, Erica, did that happen?
Yeah.
Because her dad, yeah, her stepdad was like a warden. And I was like, did we do this? Like, did I just make this up? Is this like some dumb comedy thing where I've like sticked my entire life into existence?
Right.
Or like, did this happen? And she was like, oh, yeah, 100%.
Did you, was there a recognition of like the oddness of that then? Or was it just the norm? Like,
no.
Well, yeah, they do this haunted house. So,
I mean,
big deal.
There was kind of like, it was kind of odd, but it was like, oh, well, we're doing this and we do it every year. And we're going for like, you know, Lindsay Braddock's birthday party.
I mean, I am fascinated. It would be one thing if they built it all and then someone else came in and acted as the Jason in the hockey
mask. I think it was probably mostly guards.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, it would have to be, right?
I can't imagine.
This is a
mystery
I will never
fully imagine that they would be like, why don't you go ahead and put this bag over your head and cut out these holes, person, and attack and grab these girls and make them shriek. That seems like it might be a bad idea. Possibly.
So nuts.
Possibly.
So I grew up in a weird place.
Yeah. God, it really
super
is.
Super weird.
It really is. Did you feel like... I mean, based on what you described, it's kind of an environment where I can imagine no one felt they quote unquote fit in, or everyone kind of felt like they fit in, or were there still kind of cliques that you like observed and participated
or didn't in? There were definitely cliques. It was weird because it was small too. So there would be like 125 kids per class.
Yeah.
And then everybody was kind of coming from a different background, especially because kids in the university system and the prison system had moved around a lot.
Yeah.
And like, I was a townie. Like, my dad went to my high school. My grandparents went to my high school.
Wow.
Like, I'm like the first person in my family since, you know, people left Germany leave the state of Pennsylvania.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
So it was like, we had been there for a while. Like, we were total townies, but like, people were coming from quote real places and like being at this high school that was like so small.
Yeah.
And it was kind of an interesting experience. There was also like financially a lot of differences, I think, between people
like
there.
Sounds like, God, I bet.
So that was like a big thing.
What kind of group were you, if you were sort of?
Yeah, I hung out with like art nerds.
Yeah.
Mostly.
Yeah. I'm glad that there were other art nerds, you know?
There were a surprising amount of people that I went to high school with, and I'm not sure if it's because the university was there and therefore we were exposed to, like, a lot of touring, you know, musicals and, you know, art things or whatever. But there were a lot of people that I went to high school with who have gone into the arts, which is nuts.
That's great.
For such a small group of people. We were also super bored.
Yeah.
Like my town.
That can go a number of different directions, but if it takes you in the direction of being creative, that's kind of great.
I mean, we didn't have chain restaurants. We didn't have anything.
Yeah.
So we had to make our own fun, which sounds so cliche, but we did.
Like, and how does that? Yeah. Well, first of all, I think that, again, that can be a good thing, and it can also just be like, so we just started making meth. I mean, what else were we going to do?
Right.
We had to make meth because we had nothing else going on.
We were so bored. Yeah. Like, oh, what's
it's
this chemical do?
I mean, yeah, it's sometimes things go that road. What about like, oh, I didn't know that the dogs were out and available to hang out. This is going to be kind of annoying. Hi. This changes everything.
It's changing my life in a great way.
Dogs, you're intense.
Guys.
Dogs, you're going to knock everything over.
Microphone dog.
It's been a while since I've allowed this participation of the dogs. And
water glass.
I don't think so.
It's all right, guys.
That's Whitley. She's a lot.
Oh, they probably smell the most classic thing to say when a dog's
They near probably
you.
Smell my
they
dog.
They probably smell my dog.
What kind of dog do you have?
I have a little terrier mix named Rhoda.
Rhoda!
She's so insane.
Wonderful,
hey.
Rhoda. We'll see how we do with this.
Yeah.
A lot of people came through. You made your own
fun. A lot of making our own fun, art stuff, hanging out. Like, for a two-year period, both movie theaters in my hometown were being renovated at the same time. So if I wanted to see a movie, we had to drive for an hour.
An hour?
An
Good
hour.
Gravy.
Yeah.
How does dating work with such a small group of people?
I mean, it didn't. I mean, I'd gone to school with everyone since kindergarten, if not preschool, and I had some awkward phases in there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I had
I mean, that's the thing is, like, unless people move in, like, unless it's like some army brat
moved
in.
Some fresh meat.
Yeah. Oh, they also say that in prison.
Yeah. Very, very informed by that experience. Yeah. I had a boyfriend who was like a year behind me in school or 2 years behind me. He was like a year younger. And so that was my version of fresh me, uh-huh. going after the younger me.
Yeah. But you were still someone that you had known for a while?
No, I hadn't known him because he was a little bit younger. But then we, of course, met like doing plays. And then, you know, we dated for like 2 years or whatever, like into my first year of college.
Well, you probably were like, might as well. Like, I know Slim Pickens.
He's here and he's cute and he's into art. Sure. And like, yeah.
A younger man.
I loved him.
A younger man. I mean, that's slightly unusual.
Slightly unusual. He was like, you know, I think he was like a calendar year younger than me.
Yeah.
But that was, you know, it was a scandal at the time.
It was a scandal.
It was a total scandal. He was in my sister's class and she was not having it at first.
Oh, okay. So your sister's 2 years younger, but he was in, he was in her class, but he was about a year younger than you.
I'm like embarrassed talking about this now. Like,
I'm sitting in judgment.
Yeah. Like I'm being like, he's 12 months younger, guys. Like, man, obviously I still.
Listen, I'm sure it's great. I'm sure he was very mature for his age.
I'm so embarrassed.
Oh my God.
All these years later.
Darling.
That stuff like holds on.
No, it does. It really does. It's
crazy.
Like, there's a sort of emotionless smear for a lot of my late teens, early 20s. But that has enabled me to have acute feelings pertaining to high school.
Yeah.
Like if I try hard, I can definitely very easily connect with, I just said if I try hard, I can easily do it. But if I sort of really go down memory lane thinking about like the times that, you know, I felt crushed by someone, it's right there because I have total autobiographical memory and I'm able to
what was going on in 1997.
I was wearing a blazer.
Oh, good blazer.
Diana Keaton's blazer. Oh, is that a good? That's a good. That's a
and gloves.
Pretty good guess. And gloves. I always wore fingerless gloves.
Full look.
Yeah.
Full look.
I went for it. And a derby.
So obsessed.
That's actually not untrue when I think back to
I don't think it's that untrue for anyone.
Is that what you were? Were you wearing vintage clothes when you were in high school?
I started getting into that like later in life. There was definitely a period where I was just like, fuck it, I'm wearing whatever.
Yeah.
But we didn't have fashion.
Right. Yeah. Where did you get your clothes?
Well, my mom was like very.
But if you're like the prison, again, they also made clothes.
They made our clothes. My mom was very, she really wanted us to know there was a world outside of Central Pennsylvania.
Yeah. And when did your parents split up?
They split up when I was 11.
Okay. But they stayed in the same town.
They stayed in the same town.
I mean, that's pretty interesting because it was such a small town. So obviously they had a somewhat of an amicable relationship.
Yeah. They worked hard for us. I mean, they lived 5 minutes away. Still to this day when...
And your brother is your...
He's my stepmom's child.
Got it.
Yeah. My parents live like one road away from each other. When I go home, I just drive back and forth on that road the entire time to this day. But yeah, I mean, it was a super small town and I know it was probably hard on both of them, but they stayed there. And there was a period where my mom asked my sister and I, like, do you want to move?
Yeah.
And I think there had been so much change in our life at that point that we were both like, no, that's okay.
Yeah.
Like, we'll stay here.
Yeah.
And I regretted it immediately.
Oh, yeah.
Like a year later, I was like, wait, no, like I changed my mind. I think I want to live like somewhere else.
Yeah.
But, you know, in that moment, I was like, no, let's stay.
Yeah. Did you, was there a general sense from, like you were saying about the kids who went into the arts and obviously this being kind of very different from what your family's experience was of you being the, you know, the first person to move out. Was there a sense among friends or among people, a lot of people in your class that were like, of course we're not going to stay here. We're all going to go elsewhere.
I think it was a split. I think it was like 50-50.
What did people who stayed, what was like the thing that people, would they continue on?
They would
whatever
do, you
that
know,
family
work,
business would be or go work in the prison or go work?
Family business, prison, healthcare, hospitals are... around, you know, just like regular people.
I know.
Jobs.
Why am I acting like?
No, you know, it's.
I mean,
it's strange.
Were they making carpets? What were they? I mean, I don't know why I'm trying to find some kind of weird specific thing. Of course, it makes sense.
But. Yeah, just like, you know, hanging around, and there's a lot of them. But I think my mom recognized early in me that I was like gonna get out of there very quickly, and you know, in terms of like back to school shopping and stuff like that. To answer the earlier question, like we would go to like a real mall. Yeah. Like we'd go to the King of Prussia Mall in Philadelphia and like stay overnight in a hotel.
Oh, yeah.
And like that's go a to a Chili's to or something.
That's an interesting way to kind of mark that back to school time, I bet, in a kind of interesting, special way that I wouldn't have had because it was like, oh, let's go get your Trapper Keeper at the Price Club. You right. know, it was just not, didn't have that same kind of ceremony to it.
Lots of ceremony.
Yeah.
And so we'd go and do that every year. And then we'd come back. When I was younger, we would have to like do a fashion show for my dad, which now just feels so gendered and bizarre.
Yeah, I know.
Do you know what I mean?
Here like come my princesses.
Yeah, so
prancing
bizarre.
Around.
Oh, look at us. Here's my back yeah. to school outfit, yeah. Dad. Like, so weird. Like, you paid for this, so now you get to yeah. look at it. Like, yeah. so weird. Like, so weird. But at the time, you know, it was really good, so.
Well, were you also, like, a little performer kid at home where you would be like, Dad, we wrote this little play.
I was the most obnoxious piece of shit ever, probably.
Some shit. Amazing.
Constantly, like roping my sister into stuff. And like, I was the first born grandchild on my mom's side of the family. So they joke that they used to just like sit around and like clapped, like if I went to the bathroom.
I was the same. I was the first grandchild on my mom's side of the family. And I definitely felt like, I remember feeling a sense, because I didn't have siblings, so the right. only experience I really had of like, oh, I guess I'm not the only one anymore, was my cousins. But they all lived so much further away than I lived from my grandparents that it was still kind of like I think I thought I was having like secret looks with my grandma, like, we both know I'm number one, right, in every way.
It's me. It's yeah. me. I think the only thing that evened me out is that my younger sister was born naturally very bossy and has mm-hmm. continues to run my life to this yeah. day. Like with unchecked power, like I think I could be a very big problem right now. But she like popped out and was like, not going to happen. Sorry. Yeah. Like I'm here.
That's funny.
Oh, totally.
And she knows she thinks of herself as bossy, like in, oh, a, yeah. in a loving way.
Totally.
Yeah.
She embraces that That's role great. In all of our lives. That's and great. It's so funny.
So what does that mean? Does that mean that she's like, how does that manifest itself?
My sister is like the nicest person who's ever lived. Like she works with, you know, people. She's always working with jobs, like helping other people, like went to school to help other people. But when she's like flips that switch, she'll come after you in the night.
Yeah.
Like she is tough. Like I remember calling like Shotgun, like, you know, yeah. going to my dad's like Jeep As Wrangler or whatever.
Yeah.
Calling Shotgun and her just like ripping me out of the passenger seat because she was stronger than me uh-huh. and just being like, nope. And I would yeah. be laughing so hard that I couldn't protect myself. Yeah, and yeah. she would just like get in the passenger seat. And be
and
like,
do you admire how that, like what the ways in which that works for her as an adult? Like, do you sort of look to that and go, I want more of that. I should be more like that. Or do you feel like, no, I'm good.
I think it's weird. Cause I think in my professional life, I feel like I can turn on like the boss stuff, but, I just love that she's like has this power even over my friends out here.
Mm-hmm.
Like I recently got divorced and started dating again. And my one friend was like worried that maybe I was doing it a little bit too early.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, I made a promise to Aaron Bennett. I looked her in the eye and I said, I would take care of you.
Oh.
Like, and she had met her like, you know, 3 times.
Yeah.
She just has that power over people.
Well, but it sounds like if you were laughing when she pulled you out of Shotgun, but like, it sounds like you had a good relationship opposed to a super acrimonious kind of like,
oh yeah,
competitive relationship.
I mean, she beat me up with a Triscuit box once, but I did retaliate. She locked herself into a bathroom and I kind of like dramatically put a little knife under the door. Like oh, I was going to stab her. You know,
you wiggled a knife under the door.
I wiggled a knife. Like we went at it.
Yeah.
But then, you know, as soon as I went to college, it was like, oh, well, we're best friends forever now. There was never like a question of whether or not that was going to happen.
Yeah. And so you were a performer, but she was in charge.
She was in charge.
And she didn't really perform, but you were doing plays.
No, she
stuff.
Was, I kind of forced her to be stage manager
uh-huh.
of a play her freshman year because we needed one. And I was like, Aaron, just come be stage manager.
Yeah.
And then one of the girls got like a contact stuck in her eye or something. And there was a chance that my sister was going to have to go on
oh, wow.
and perform.
Wow. This is like a Saved by the Bell. And by the way, I've only seen one episode of Saved by the Bell.
Well, I've seen them all.
Okay.
And it's very appropriate.
Yeah.
And she looked at me like I was going to die.
Yeah.
Like she was like, you got me into this.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
And I think part of her was secretly pleased. She's very funny. I tell her all the time, like, if you want to work on a script with me,
yeah.
I will help you get a job. Like, yeah. You are so funny. I want you in a punch-up room. And she's like, no.
I think that's so cool. But, like, I think Like, I wonder, again, this is all total speculation because I don't have siblings, but to have that relationship where instead of feeling like, this is my thing that I do, sister, that right. you're like, I do it, but like, you're super funny. You should do this. Or you funny. Could do this. I think it's so great.
My dad's super funny. My stepbrother, my stepmom's is like super funny. My mom can be funny. She just, you know, is a little bit more sensitive, so I don't go as hard with her. Yeah. Like, my mom and my dad, my sister, my brother, my stepmom and I, we just, like, to this day, we just, like, rip into each other. Like, that's in a so funny, funny, like, loving way.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's so great. I mean, that appeals to me, I guess, because my dad is very funny. That is feels more relatable to me than my friends who are like, I don't know where I got it. Like, I go home and my parents look at me like I'm crazy, you know, and I sort of feel like I have like a different face that I put on, and that that's not like it's unpleasant, but right. it just isn't the person that I am with my friends is not the same person I am with my family. And I don't have right. that really. So, it's always interesting to hear about that. And that what you're talking about is much more sort of what yeah. I can relate to is like,
and I roll back and I'm like the one that gets made fun of the most. I'm like, I over Thanksgiving, I was like, I'm cool, guys. I'm cool. I was like, what's happening? Like, I am so cool. And yeah. my stepmom was like, Allison, if you were really cool, like, would you have to tell us all that
yeah.
you're cool?
Yeah.
It was really funny. But I was like, wait, I'm the oldest sibling. Like, right. what are you guys doing to me? Because they constantly team up.
I mean, I think that's great.
This Thanksgiving, my brother made a catchphrase for me.
Oh, yeah?
Which was, I've been through a lot.
Oh, well.
And I was like, what? I have not said that, like, at all at any point. He was coming like, I've been through a lot.
And
I
was and like, so he just was doing an impression of you, and that yeah. would be the impression.
Yeah, that like, was like.
This is my sketch character of my sister.
Yeah.
That's really funny.
It was so funny.
What kind of plays were you guys doing in this small town?
Just, like, you know, the regular, you know, Annie musicals. Perfect. And like Will Rogers Follies and Grease, and we did fall play. We did like Midsummer.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the most basic.
Yeah.
Of basic.
That's, I mean,
plays.
That's all I ever did.
But it was
did,
super
anyway,
fun.
Pretty much. Yeah.
It was my life.
It
was, I loved
did
it.
Did it feel like your life? Is that, were you a good student?
I was
that?
A very good student. Despite
were your
having
classes easy, or did you feel like they considering sort of,
some of them were hard. I was one of those kids who, like, freshman and sophomore year, I was like, I can do math and science. Like, I'm not great at it, but I can do it. And then I signed up for, like, honors chemistry junior year and just got destroyed.
Yeah.
Like, my math brain turned off at, like, age 14, 15.
Yeah.
And I've never been able to get it back.
It's so – I love that. That makes it sound like you've tried.
I wanted to.
To degree, yeah.
But I was very calculating. Like, I was not getting a good grade in honors chem, so I made that teacher write my college recommendation. I was like, this is going to balance it out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
it is. That's a really good idea.
In the letter, she was like, if Allison enjoys something, she does better at it.
Well, I mean, first of all, hopefully that's true of all students. But
right.
And so were you, did you have passions about anything besides theater?
I was really, you know, we watched a lot of like B horror movies with my friends. And I liked visual art a lot. Although, you know, with chorus, I was always angling to try to get a better part in the musical.
Mm-hmm.
So with chorus happening the same time as some of the art classes, I had to really, you know, give up some visual art stuff, which is so weird that they make you choose between sports and art. And then once yeah. you get into art, like between the different kinds of art once
agreed.
You're in high school.
Agreed. That always bummed me out too. That was true of the dance, like the advanced dance and the advanced drama classes were at exactly the same time. And I thought
right.
there's a lot of people who would want to do both. That
there's some overlap
short-sighted.
Here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess we were just lucky to have those programs at all, considering it was a public school. And, like, some people would be like, oh, you had a dance class? You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, that's crazy.
So, and that's
I'm jealous
sad
of that,
although
I can't dance.
Well, I don't know that I could either. But, you know, when you're taking a public school dance class, it's like anybody can, you know what I mean? You're learning kind of like 5 seconds of tap, a few pliés, you know, a lot of modern.
Right.
A lot of modern.
A lot
which
of
roughly
undulating
translates
of
to
the spine.
Undulating. Yeah. It could be that you're using scarves in an interesting way. I don't know. I remember that teal unitard, though. Like, I had the same teal unitard for, like, 4 years of dance. Like, why? Because I guess we just didn't have any money.
Right.
That's all I ever had.
The idea of wearing a unitard at school is like my worst nightmare.
Oh, yeah, it's excruciating. Even then, I was like not comfortable with my body in that way. It was like something, that part of it was kind of something to get through. It was like, oh, you can wear like, remember it was a big deal when someone wore like men's boxers over their unitard. And I was like, oh my God, I can hide my butt.
Game changer.
This is wonderful. Yeah, now it's like an outfit. Oh, God.
So good.
Were you, did you have self-consciousness about that kind of stuff? Or did you feel kind of like, I'm good?
It's kind of weird. It took a while for it to kick in. I was really lucky in that my parents never mentioned physical appearance. And so I was like a mutant with a unibrow and like a bowl cut for like ever. And I just thought I was awesome.
Great.
Like, wasn't an issue. I was like, okay, like fashion trends didn't really exist, like I said, because we didn't have stores.
Yeah.
So I was just like, all right, like bopping along. And then, you know, when I was in high school, I didn't really pay that much attention to my weight and had these two very naturally thin friends who'd be like, let's order cheesy bread from Domino's after school. And I'd be like, yeah. And so my weight would always like fluctuate. Like there were times where I was definitely like more chubby. But until somebody would, like, call it out to me, like, I wouldn't notice.
Yeah.
And it got called out, like, by a musical director and, like, a mean boy at school.
Yay, yay.
And looking back, I was like, I was fine. But those comments, like, hurt. But it really took someone else to, like, put that thought in my brain before.
It's an interesting social experiment in that sense, that it really is. Like, oh, this is a perfect example of kind of figuring out where the mirror has to exist for us to even start feeling those things.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's so nice to just be able to turn all of that, all of those voices off.
By the end of high school, I think society had caught up to me.
Did you bought like, this is going to, this is, I've never even asked anyone this question. I've had plenty of people who come from rural communities. So no,
please.
I don't want you to think that I thought you lived in like a cave, but it was did you bought, but it's based kind of on what you were saying, but like, did you read, you know, like 17 magazine, like where did you become interested in like, you know, sort of those things that, that kind of cater more to those, for lack of a better term, superficial stuff.
Right. We got the Delia's catalog. I mean, this was pre-internet America. Delia, sure. I went to performing arts summer camp with really wealthy girls from New York and New Jersey.
Oh, I bet, yeah.
So I would go.
What was the summer camp?
It was Camp Balbay for the Performing Arts. It was like on the border of New York and Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And I would go there and they would be like, this is Rent. This is MAC lip gloss. This is a Tiffany's necklace. Like all this stuff. This is Abercrombie and Fitch.
Yeah,
and
labels, I'd be like, labels.
Wow, this is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And so in my travels, because my mom, you know, was making sure that I was seeing Broadway shows or that we were going on vacations or whatever, if I saw one of those stores, I'd like nab an Abercrombie shirt.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'd be like, I'm going to wait till the kids at home see this. And then I would go to school and like nobody would care.
Yeah. Abercrombie.
It was like hard to be trendy if you, even if you wanted to be.
I think that's so great. I just think that's so great. That's, I find that refreshing, to say the least.
Yeah.
And so was comedy something that you paid attention to? Like, did you watch SNL or did you like, were you a fan of those kinds of movies? Because obviously if the movie theaters were not even in business.
I mean,
was there like video stores where you guys
there were video stores. We watched a lot of things. My group of friends was like kind of diverse. So we only really watched B horror movies because that's what we could agree on. But, and I like to write, so I was like writing like weird little funny plays and stuff, but
that's great.
Yeah, I wouldn't say
I think it's great that you were writing that young. That's pretty, I mean, that can be rare for, especially for girls.
Yeah, love doing that. But I wasn't like a comedy nerd. I didn't have any like older brothers or friends to kind of, or older girlfriends to kind of be like, this is the way, like this is Kids in the Hall. Like it's, I didn't get that so much later.
It's interesting that how much of that comes to us from slightly older people sometimes, like whether it's siblings or just friends or, it's interesting when that, then when that's not there to be, and it has to be discovered completely on its own or whatever.
Totally.
But
it came out later for sure. But at the time that, you know, that wasn't really my thing. I was like really into, you know, theater, of course, and reading.
What kind of books did you like reading?
Just like, I was like into, you know, like Vonnegut, like pretty classic stuff. I had a really good ninth grade English teacher who saw that I liked to write. And so I think just to make me happy, she would like assign me extra books.
Yeah.
And I'd write, had like little
too.
Essays and stuff.
So great. And do you still read that much?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Since I've moved to LA, a little bit less because I'm not on the subway.
Yeah.
But I've done these challenges the last couple of years to see how many books I can read in a year. The most I ever got to was like 117, but...
That's great. Because I feel like I've become very lazy about actually consuming like the written word. I get antsy and I will listen to audiobooks, have them read to me, but it's because I can also like do a bunch of chores and sort of, or be out on my bike, or, you know, it becomes this kind of like, oh, I have to be actively doing something. And it isn't as much that immersive, you know, where like your eyes are focused on the words, like it, all of it is sort of dedicated to the experience of getting the story into your brain. And I think I'm like ashamed of that, because I did used to be this person that would constantly, you know, I mean, the super cliche of like walking to school, holding the book and like bumping into people and stuff, but like 100%.
Yeah.
Like walking between classes, reading a book, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Which feels like now just some sort of weird, you know, like pre-adolescence book, like actual character in a book who does that, but we did it.
We totally did it. There was a moment even today where I was like, I don't think I've been like reading enough lately.
Are you a Kindle, like a Kindle?
I'm a Kindle, yeah.
iPad person? Yeah.
I'm a Kindle person.
You don't need the paper between your fingers.
No, I mean, I'll read paper for sure. I get a good paperback with a cool cover. That's exciting, but you know, just in terms of ease of carrying stuff around.
I know.
I've transitioned.
Difference. I definitely don't need to be lugging around like a hardback of something just because there is one.
No.
It's probably kind of dumb.
No way.
Let's get into this mash game. I'm excited about it. Let's see how, first of all, this does not have much juice. Oh, maybe it does. Okay. My first category is going to be, this will surprise you not at all, I'm sure, nor will it surprise anyone else, but let's do three musicals and characters that in this MASH alternate universe you've played, and it could be, you know, gender bending, it could be age, non-specific, just like three musicals and characters you'd be.
The narrator and Joseph.
Great.
I'm just going to do ones, the parts that I wanted that I didn't get. I think it's going to be my theme. Rizzo in Grease.
Yes. Get it in there. You'd be great.
And I'm just going to do the girl in Last 5 Years, even though I don't know her name.
Perfect. I certainly don't either. Gorgeous.
But it'd be super fun.
All right. Perfect. Okay, great. Next one is three. Let's do your vacation home is inside of three books.
Ooh.
So three books where the world becomes real and you have this place you can escape to whenever you want.
Oh, man. Let me think here.
It's a lot of pressure.
This is a lot because I'm like thinking, right, I don't want to pick like a dummy book right now.
It's to be able to like, again, to have that catalog where you just go into this file in your mind and pull something out. I know that that's kind of an impossibility. So it's definitely an exercise in improv. But
all right. Well, let's do 1984.
Great.
It's just like, we'll get super weird. Let's do The Goldfinch, just because of like old New York and that weird Arizona stuff.
Sure.
I'm just thinking of recent stuff. And let's do I can go on vacation just for a little bit.
Yeah, just disappear into
Disappear.
So it can be a world where, it can be a world where like nothing is even close to being real.
Real. Let's do the Jeffrey Toobin O.J. Simpson book.
Amazing.
Where I could just go and sit and watch that trial.
Are you enjoying the FX show? Have you watched it?
Oh, yeah.
They're striking a balance that I'm amazed by.
It's so good.
Like they're striking a balance between just being super arch and also being like totally respectful of the incredible weight that so much of that had on America. I don't know how they're doing it. I'm really impressed.
It's been a wild ride.
It's been a wild ride.
Yeah, and my friends and I read the book right before the show came out, so we've been like nerding out.
Yeah. Do you remember, do you have a memory of that as it was happening?
A little bit, but the trial was on the Esquire Network last night, and I was watching it.
Oh, it was?
And I was like, Cato is funny.
I think I remember people saying that then, and I just was not... You know, I just remember being like, I have a lot of schoolwork to do. Like, I don't remember being captivated by it at all. I mean, I remember discussions about it, like, in class, weirdly.
Right.
But I don't remember, you know, I have a sense of it overall. But I also feel like part of my memory of it is attached to ever since people referring back to it. Do you know what I mean?
Right. I remember they put the TVs on, like, on those little carts when the verdict was announced.
I think yes, that happened to me too, but I'm thinking about it like, why the fuck would they have done that in school?
I know. I remember kids being like, yeah, and kids being like, no.
It's so bananas.
So crazy.
God, that's so weird.
I love it.
I know. Murder. Okay, wonderful. So the OJ book, great.
Yeah.
Okay. Next category is let's do three types of businesses and like the location where you would find them that you could have in this alternate universe. I know we talked about like a vintage store. So
if
you owned one, where would it be? And even if it must needs be three vintage stores, just tell me like what cities. It would be fun to kind of.
Okay. Let's do like a weird vintage store in Minneapolis.
Great.
Let's do one in Palm Springs.
Great.
And let's do one in Philadelphia.
Great. I've only been to Philadelphia once, but I really liked it.
It's great. Both my siblings live there now.
It was definitely a feeling of, I feel like it's funny because I haven't traveled so very much, but I've traveled enough now, especially in the contiguous United States, that when I go to a place like Philadelphia, and I've not been before, and I've never been to Minneapolis either, I do have this sense of like, God, I can't, this has always been here. Why have I not, how did I feel weird about not having ever been here now. And I didn't know I was going to feel this weird, but that's how I felt also going to DC for the first time, because all of the sort of East Coast stuff was, you know, for me, just like New York, places in Massachusetts because I had friends there, places in Vermont because I had friends there as a kid.
Right.
But nothing, I'd never Philly, never DC, never Baltimore, never, you know, tons of cities that when you live in the West, everything's so spread out. It's like a weird, it's kind of a mind fuck that there are so many. Like, I remember people saying I was way older than I feel like I should have been to hear someone say, well, why can't you just fly into Newark? And have me go like, what are you talking about?
Right.
New York City is where I need to go. Do you know what I mean? Like, Philadelphia is not commutable to New York. What are you talking about? People are like, no, it's like really easy on the train. It's just not a big deal.
Totally.
And that seemed so foreign to me because it felt like I had to travel 8 hours to get to another big city. Or in the case of Tucson and Phoenix, they're 2 hours apart. But beyond that, you don't go anywhere else. Like, going to San Diego with my dad was like a long trip. So it just never, that was something that, and even when I would visit friends, when I would visit my friend Meredith in Boston, which I talked about very recently, Pittsfield actually, and we did go to, you know, we went into Vermont, we went into New Hampshire, we were still kind of just doing like the small town thing, except for going to Boston. So it's still, and when you're a kid, all time feels long. So even if we'd been in the car for an hour, I would have been like, ugh, it took forever.
Why am I doing it?
Yeah. But now being the age that I am and realize and sort of going like, oh, right. So I was on the train for like a couple of hours from New York to DC. And then I was just there in this completely different world that was
so
still
different.
Awesomely like amazing and intricate and detailed and a whole different vibe and all of that. I really do dig that about the East Coast because it's just not something I ever knew as a youth.
It's so cool. And I grew up 3 hours from New York, Baltimore, Philly. Pittsburgh was like 4.5, 5. So it was great to like hop in the car and get to go somewhere cool for the weekend. It was
and
great.
So to be someplace that's as rural as it was, like my experience being, I was just in like a medium-sized city, you know?
Right.
So to have like the extremes in both directions, I think is really cool. I bet it filled out your personality in a kind of a cool, unique way.
Yeah, it was great.
Let's do three foods that are not great to have in perpetuity in this world, but in our MASH universe. You can have them at the snap of a finger as much as you want with no ramifications.
Nachos.
Nice.
Soft pretzels.
Oh my God, thank you. No one says soft pretzels.
So good.
Fucking soft pretzels with cheese.
Cheese? That horrible melty fake cheese. Or the ones that are stuffed with the jalapeno cheese.
Yes. Thank you.
So good.
I'm living vicariously through your MASH right now.
Oh, so good. Chocolate pudding.
Oh God.
That's an easy question.
I think this is officially the closest, if not the most actual literal three that I would list that anyone has ever said.
Thank you. I feel honored to do it. It's funny that I'm like, food, here it is.
Yeah.
Books, have I read a book? am I going to pick a book where I sound dumb? I like, so you nervous. Know what?
That's all lizard brain stuff, though. I feel like it's not surprising that food, shelter, and sex are sort of the things that are easiest to conjure some on some level.
Right there.
Speaking of sex.
Sex.
Let's take three people who, and it can be of any era, any age, any version of them, can be even just the character they played in mm-hmm. something. Three people that you would either want, you know, sexy times, sort of alternate universe partner, mm-hmm. et cetera. Three.
Young Robert Redford.
Yeah, great.
Tom Hardy.
Great.
I'm trying to think of another hottie. I'm just going to go with Chris Hemsworth. I'm going the most basic.
Go for it. Go for it. You're going with the chocolate pudding and soft pretzel of men.
Yeah, I'm just like, you know what?
Fantastic.
These are some hotties.
Those were right there, ready and waiting. I think they were great. They are, but like, they all have, I mean, Chris Hemsworth, I guess, would be the person I feel this least about, but fucking Tom Hardy disappears into a role like very few actors these days.
Right.
I mean, he just is gone.
He's very talented. Like,
it's stunning.
Yeah.
That mouth is just... I feel like in every movie where he plays someone kind of rough around the edges, they have to be like, all right, what are we going to do about the mouth? You want to do a beard? Should we do a mustache? Like, how are we going to hide his perfect,
those lips.
Puffy lips?
During The Revenant, my biggest complaint was, like, he's not hot in it.
Yeah, he's awful in it.
I'm like, there's no...
Talk about disappearing into
it. I can't work up anything
for this. Yeah, I got nothing to work with.
Next.
Yeah, he really did it. But it's like, you know, someone like Gary Oldman, you sort of expect it to disappear because he does have, like, you know, he's an astonishing actor and he sort of could look like anyone.
Right.
But Tom Hardy, it's amazing that he's still able to disappear because you see that face and you're like, oh, I'll always know it's him.
Right.
You
those face, I mean? Those tattoos.
Yeah. Yeah, he's all right.
He's
good work.
Cute.
You did a good job.
Thank you.
Let's
I'm
see.
Proud.
What else? Let's do the sort of style from the past that either for comfort reasons or for, like, it's just not easy to walk around in a tuxedo or whatever in terms of how people would look at you. Three styles of clothes that you could just disappear into again with, you know, like, no one would bat an eyelash and it wouldn't be, like, uncomfortable if you have always wanted to wear a corset, but you're like, right. I know what it would do to me physically.
70s muumuu.
Which basically falls into the same category as kimono, which I also...
Oh, it's like, hey, let's do that. If no one, if everyone's going to be like, cool with it,
yeah,
put me in a muumuu.
Yeah.
Like those really cool, like wide-legged, high-waisted 40s pants, like the whole Catherine Hepburn look.
Absolutely.
My friend Eva does a really good job with that currently. She does it well. And I think just like 80s... weirdness, like new wave 80s weirdness.
Sure. I'm glad. I enjoy that is something that is kind of around. Even just like seeing people with like half their head shaved and stuff. It's I like it. Like I'm pleased by it.
Full Cyndi Lauper.
Oh, by all means.
Just
by
like
all means.
Weird hair and
yeah.
Tulle little skirts.
Yeah. And just like clutter. Like, she's just a cluttered person.
Like,
but like
more is
wonderful.
More.
More is more. More is more.
Totally.
Brilliant.
Into it.
Okay, let's do three people that you would love to work on something with professionally, but for one reason or another, either that they are no longer living or they're doing something that's so incredibly different from what you're doing. It may not happen, so in this world, we can make it happen.
Right. Nora Ephron. My friend Irma Kalish, who's like a 90-year-old comedy writer.
Love it.
I love her.
I'm putting Irma K only because I don't have enough room to write Kalish.
Yeah, Irma K. Let me think of somebody else. Mary Tyler Moore.
Great. MTM.
To write a comedy and have Mary Tyler Moore act in it.
No, I feel like that could happen.
That's true. I mean, she's not doing.
I mean, listen, keep her on the list by all means, but I'm just telling you, dare to dream. Dare to dream.
I'm dreaming right now.
Okay, good. Final category. I put a lot of pressure on myself with this final category.
Ooh, I'm ready for it.
How about, you know what? I'm going to go like, you know, superpower or like weird, unearthly ability to do something. Three.
Eavesdrop.
Amazing.
From as far away as I want.
Great.
just chill.
But to be able to turn it on and off. So turn like, it you're on not going to hear something when somebody's talking shit about something you don't want to hear about. Nope. It's not like you just can't turn it off.
If I'm at the mall, I see a couple fighting over there, like teens, and they were like dry humping on the fountain a couple seconds ago. And now they're in a fight.
Good use.
I want to hear that fight.
It's a good use of a gift. It's a good use of a gift.
What's going to happen with that?
Yeah.
So that would be one.
Right.
I think just the ability to like chill myself out.
Yeah.
Take those bad voices out of my head.
Love
and
it.
Just chill myself out.
Love it.
Shape-shifting would be the third one.
Great.
Just to be like, and I would use this in very disgusting ways. Just just like, I want a different outfit. My hair looks stupid today.
Yeah.
And maybe like I'll be a dog, but really just look at my cool clothes.
I don't want to have to take my bra off if I can just.
Yeah. Like, oh, maybe today I have big boobs.
Listen, there's a lot to be said for that.
Murder also. And physical appearance.
Murder.
This is what I'm being marked by. And I'm so sad and in my head about it, but I'm plowing through.
I think I'm very proud. I'm proud and I stand by all of your choices.
Thank you.
So not to worry.
Thank you.
Tell me when to stop.
Stop.
I'm getting it done. I'm going to pause this, do some calculating. There's not a lot of calculating.
I'll hard come math.
Back with your 100% guaranteed MASH future.
I can't wait.
If
it's okay. Not.
All right.
I mean, those are all three.
I know.
So good.
I certainly now want a soft pretzel very desperately.
Oh, so badly.
Okay. These are great. First of all, God, I don't even know where to start. I'm so pleased. Well, you know what? Let's just get some of your theater acumen out of the way and congratulate you for your role on Broadway as the narrator in Joseph.
Joseph's coat annoyed.
God,
so
I've seen.
Stupid.
I've only seen. I've certainly was never performed in it. Nothing I ever did was religious in nature. Like no school I was ever in would have done Godspell or Technicolor Dreamcoat or anything like that. Certainly not Jesus Christ Superstar. But I've only seen it once. But anything from that era where things are just groovy is just like, it's a whole different kettle of fish.
I saw the Donny Osmond one because my friend was in it in Boston.
Oh, nice.
And
yeah.
It was life-changing.
It was. It was great. That's great.
I loved it.
And you still get there and you see shows. You like still seeing theater on Broadway?
Yeah. I was just in London and I saw I saw six shows in, 5 days or whatever, but mostly plays. I'm not really interested in musicals anymore.
Yeah. I gravitate certainly towards seeing the plays too,
right.
But I'm still really bad about it. So great, 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 great. I guess you're busy doing that, but luckily you've got the business up and running, that you don't have to worry about it. It's cause it's over in Philly. You've got your vintage
Woo!
Shop in Philly, which is great. Cause it keeps you connected to that city. That's where your siblings are anyway.
Oh, so
and,
good.
Fantastic.
Love this.
But both of those things are taxing, running a business, you're thinking about it. You're wanting to make sure it's managed well. People are finding their dream coats there. and you're doing Joseph, maybe you need to disappear into your house. Your vacation house inside the world of Tubin's OJ book. So I assume you're like the next door neighbor in Brentwood in this book.
Oh, mid-90s LA.
Well done. Really, really the polar opposite of where you grew up. I think it's kind of amazing and terrific. With unlimited, pulling the Band-Aid off, chocolate pudding. But I like to think you have a jacuzzi of chocolate pudding in this house.
Oh, you know I do.
Because why wouldn't you in that scenario? Why wouldn't you be soaking in your chocolate pudding hot tub with Chris Hemsworth?
I just died.
Yeah.
I just got genuinely so happy, like, I get to experience this.
You just did very well for yourself. Also, I'm really excited about seeing you in your new wave 80s, like, extreme, just fucking working it. Which works with the vintage store, which works weirdly with Joseph, which works certainly with like you being like the weird hipster 80s person in the OJ Simpson story.
Hemsworth's gonna get on board.
Yeah. And if, by the way, if you get tired of it, go ahead and shape your shift.
Yes.
Shift your shape right away. No muss, no fuss. And then, all of this being, kind of rounded up with, your future working with Mary Tyler Moore. That's great.
So good.
Who's going to be like, I love your look. It's so fun. Cause
I'm
you know,
so
she's
happy
just cool
right now.
Yeah. Great work.
Thank you so much. I'm proud.
You did it. You did it all.
You did it. You worked that Sharpie.
Well,
I did. You made my dreams come true.
I'm very, very pleased to hear it. Now, we are looking forward to season 3 of You're the Worst. That's very, very exciting.
Coming up.
You are working on a project as well that is probably too fresh to tell anyone about yet, but we will keep everyone apprised. And can people follow you on Twitter, etc.?
Yeah, at Bennett Lee. B-E-N-N. You don't spell it out. You can find me. I'm Allison Bennett.
Don't overdo it. Don't overthink it. Don't think it's like L-E-I-G-H. Just do yourself a favor.
It is?
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, I follow you, so I don't know. I guess in my mind, when you said that, I was like, well, it can't be the complicated way.
It is the complicated way. L-E-I-G-H.
I'm glad we got this fight out of the way. Bennett is the easy part.
Totally.
Don't forget about the L-E-I-G-H.
Just don't.
Do yourself a big favor. Get yourself a soft pretzel. Dip it in some chocolate pudding.
Get ready for some murder tweets.
I would eat those things all together right now.
Let's do it,
Janet. I would eat soft pretzel. Then you have the chocolate pudding. Both of those are very soft foods. You want to have the crispiness of the nachos to kind of give a little bit of crunch. Oh,
love those soft foods. Is there something wrong with my teeth?
This is how you're finding out.
Oh, no.
We need to talk. They're crumbling even as we speak.
Next time I see her, I'll be like, hide me in it.
Yeah. No, she's gumming her way through all the chocolate pudding in the world, guys. It's an 80-year-old's dream come true.
Also,
80 is not in any way old anymore. Now it's like 100.
So crazy.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Thank you for doing the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
And what a pleasure and a joy.
Oh, my God. Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
As always, the JV Club theme song is Back Before We Were Brittle by the amazing Say Hi.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.